Welcome to Wonders and Worries podcast. My name is Julie May, Child Life Specialist at Wonders and Worries. I primarily serve Williamson County and the greater Austin area. Today's episode is a topic that is very likely rated one of the highest stressors among parents right now in the United States. What do we do about school? Which option is best for my child? Does my kid have all their needs being met? Are they getting enough socialization? What if they get sick at school? What if I get sick because I sent them back to school? So much compounded worry, and at the root of all of it, it comes from a place of such deep caring and love for our children. Unfortunately, as Wonders and Worries families know all too well, new diagnoses, continuous treatments, even anticipatory loss of a chronic illness does not go on hold during this unsettling time in our country. We need all the help we can get. And so my goal behind this podcast is to meet with Jan McCall today, who is a school counselor and has been a school counselor for many years, to just kind of talk through some of the ways that counseling can support families right now during the pandemic. And then additionally, if a parent is facing a divorce or an illness or some other life change, how counseling is there to support as well. So Jan, do you want to take a minute and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you. My name is Jan McCall. I went to the University of Texas at Austin and started my teaching career in science in Dallas. Was a science teacher and a communications teacher, which translated into theater. But it taught me a lot about kids and outlets and passion, you know, for what they loved and that it was a huge outlet for them in the school system. And then I counseled in the elementary school for 12 years. And so my middle school experience was teaching and then counseled in elementary for 12 years. And now I'm counseling in a high school. This is my third year. So I've actually had the awesome opportunity to work in all three levels, which I love all three levels.
I think that a common misconception I hear when talking with people about school counselors is they understand a portion of the scope of your profession, but they don't understand the far reach that counseling has in supporting whole family care. And so I think that if your child is being bullied at school, or if you're having testing done, or an issue with planning for a graduation and what needs to be done to be able to meet those credits, obviously many parents know that the person to contact is the school counselor. But actually, in terms of illness and family stress, and those sort of needs, school counseling plays a very vital part as well.
Yeah, counseling in the school system, and again, working in all three levels across my career, it's very different. I mean, there are some things that are very much the same, but it's different depending on their age. But counselors in a school system are there for a lot of reasons. One, we track all children in all meetings. We all are aware of our strugglers academically and our strugglers within their family, strugglers socially, the kids that are struggling to make friends, personally, just dealing with issues like ADD, ADHD, dyslexia. I mean, all of the different issues that make it really difficult for a kid to have a great day. And so we're always on top of any child who is struggling. And that is true for all three levels. In elementary, I loved counseling elementary. I was not cut out to be an elementary school teacher. I'll be honest about that. But as a counselor, I looked at it as foundational work to work with them K through five to get ready for their life and what life is going to throw at them and much of which they're not prepared for. So, you know, parents would be super apologetic, and I would work with parents all the time and laugh when they would come and be embarrassed about whatever their child did, because I thought, I have three children and there's not one thing that came to my office that my three children did not do, and that we did not live as a family. And so it's just normal, a normal day. But in elementary, they need a lot of foundational help. And to be honest, I counseled at a school that you're familiar with, where there are a lot of different cultures and counseling is not as receptive of a practice in some cultures as it is in others. So the biggest part of my job in elementary was winning over parents to trust me to see their kids, because it's just not a normal, you know, way of doing things in their culture. And so working with kids foundationally, trying to help them through friendship struggles, personal struggles, family struggles, cultural struggles was a huge emphasis. And I loved it because I feel like they need so much work before they hit the doors of middle school and high school, where they're making their own decisions. And they don't really want their parents' advice so much at that time. So the work that you do on the front end was extremely rewarding to me. Middle school, kind of a crapshoot on middle school.
Just in general.
You know, they're really just there to have a good time. It's a very stressful time as a parent, but it's actually super fun. It's very short. It ends in the blink of an eye, and you wondered why you spent so many years worrying about it, because they really are there to go through puberty and be with their friends. And if they accomplish those two things pretty successfully, then is a success.
You told that to me as a young parent when I had a first grader, or you had mentioned it in some group thing you were saying, and I kind of giggled. I have come back to that concept now, having a high schooler and a middle schooler. Puberty, friends, that's all we need to make it through. Like, it doesn't matter that they're wearing a hoodie in 98 degree weather. We just need friends, and we need to make it through puberty. So
exactly. And when my child was wearing a hoodie in 90 degree weather, it's because he was cheating in middle school. So I got to go face the teacher and talk about that. Very humbling when you're a counselor. But again, his job, you know, they all have to try things once or twice. But I love that age. And I think they really just are trying to figure out who they are, and they're trying to establish the connections that they're going to, the group that they're going to join, you know, whether it be cheerleading or band or choir. That if that happens in middle school, that's a great thing. And then high school, it's really about tracking, you know, credits and making sure that they'll graduate. But boy, do they struggle with a lot in high school, a lot of pressure, a lot of academic pressure, a lot of social pressure. Families can't be supportive. Sometimes aren't supportive. They're very much on their own, trying to navigate a lot by themselves. My elementary experience was with a very affluent neighborhood, and people had great supportive families. And now I work in a school where the families are very supportive, but they struggle greatly financially. And so it's just very different. But they're wonderful. I mean, the families are great. They do the best that they can. And it's just great to have a relationship with them and help them move their child through the most important part of their life, getting ready for their launch. So it's a great job.
And you are great at it. I'm so glad that you're here talking to us. Just in dealing with the pandemic alone and kind of thinking about all the stress that has added for so many children across all ages, but also for their parents, in supporting your kids in the environment that you're in right now, those older children that are kind of at the age of either transitioning into adulthood and starting to talk about what their next steps look like, mm-hmm. that can be really overwhelming or frustrating for a child who's not getting to do homecoming or prom or normal stuff that is kind of a rite of passage for kids. Are you seeing a lot of kids coming to you with stress about the pandemic? Are you seeing more of it just the daily stresses of what do I do next with my school?
That's a great question. I think the high school kids that I'm working with right now, they are definitely stressed, and you can tell. I don't know that they connect it directly to the pandemic, but what they aren't seeing is that their life has changed so dramatically because of the pandemic and those changes and the isolation and the, you know, the lack of normalcy. So I don't know that they think about, oh my gosh, the pandemic has been so hard on me, but definitely I see the effects. I mean, kids are, you know, they're isolated. They want to be with their friends. You know, your peer group is your most important outlet when you're their age, and they really can't be with them in a normal way. I mean, our teachers are frustrated. We have great teachers, and they love connecting with the kids, and they feel very frustrated with the inability to connect like they normally do. I hear that a lot. I've apologized to kids. I mean, our freshmen, I've said, I'm so incredibly sorry that your start has been like this at a high school where we, you know, emphasize family and community and connection. It's just been, they've really been cheated. And I said, our goal is to make it up to you when that day comes. So I think when you just see kids behaving in a way that they're just not themselves, it is connected to that. And I think we all have to watch how much we expose them to this, because they deserve to have a childhood. These are very adult issues that they've been thrown into, and they really haven't had a choice, that they would not normally be dealing with even in high school. You know, they'd be about the prom and friends, and they don't get any of that. It's super frustrating to deliver a normal day for them.
And I think also for so many of these kids, especially the virtual ones, what is the capacity for them to be able to connect with their counselors? And I'm sure that's very different at a high school level versus middle or elementary. I would imagine that elementary school is much more video check-ins and more of the availability of just kind of those daily check-ins. Whereas in high school, I bet that's a lot different, and that it's probably more student-led. And am I correct in assuming that, or how does that look in terms of kids connecting with their counselors?
Yeah, I would say there's so much on their plate right now that they almost don't even get to it. So especially in high school, I email kids all the time. And when they're freshmen, that kind of shocks them. They get an email from you and they're like, oh my gosh, I mean, why are you emailing me? But I touch base constantly. And I mean, constantly. I'm not a counselor. I know I should. That turns off my phone in the evening. I get an email and I answer an email. And sometimes it's at 10 or 11. Sometimes it's at 6 in the morning. I was not awake once when a student emailed me at 4 in the morning, but asked her at 6 in the morning, why are you up at 4 in the morning? Because I just feel like in real time, they need somebody to just say that they're there. So I email kids all the time. How are you doing? You can do this. Don't give up on me. You know, don't give up on the school. Don't give, you know, I'll just do that. I drive them a little bit crazy, to be honest. But they also know they can Google Hangout with us or Zoom with us whenever they need to. But I would say that life has been so crazy that they're not thinking to do it. So we've tried to reach out to them, especially our online kids, because in our high school, we have online, we have face-to-face, and we have a hybrid model as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
it's a lot.
It's a lot of moving parts.
It's a lot of moving parts. But I think they, once you reach out to them, it opens the door for them to reach back. And so that's what I wish a lot of counselors would do. It's really hard. There are a lot of kids, but that means a lot to them when they get an email from you to them just saying, how are you doing? And I've had a lot of kids tell me that they were so happy that I would check on them, you know?
Oh, I love that. Oh, and it's so important. I even think about, I mean, you know my children well, just because of over the years, but I think about, we recently elected to have my middle school and high schoolers start back this past week to the in-person model. And I will say, while one of them is moving around throughout the day, the other one is not yet at their campus. And so it's been very different to see one who's in an isolated classroom all day with a couple children and she knows one of them. And then for the other one, he's moving around, but he's also having to face-to-face interact with people that he hasn't had to do in 7 months. So just kind of where I thought the harder would be the kid that's not moving.
Right.
The one that's actually having to move around and talk face-to-face is struggling more because he hasn't had that practice of talking to all these different people in a day. And so I think,
yes,
I think the fact that a counselor is reaching out to students to talk to them in a way that is safe and supported, I feel like that is such an incredible tool for these kids.
I just realized that any way that you communicate with them matters. I mean, it doesn't have to be face-to-face because a lot of them don't have the time in their day with all of the work. And we're dual credit, so they're working on college and high school all 4 years. It's a lot, but when you just have an exchange, and they said one day, I had a kid say, you always answer me. You always answer me. And I thought it seems like it's such a silly thing, but it's really not for them. And so, I think anything that you do, whether you put a note, you know, I mean, we do notes. I mean, I love where I am, and the teachers write kids notes, personal notes all the time. They, it makes a huge difference. They just need connection. They need any kind of connection they can get.
Now, wonders and worries, so many of our families, because their illnesses are chronic, they are immunosuppressed. Mm-hmm. So a good deal, I run our monthly teen group that checks in, and a good deal of them, their kids cannot go back to school right now, just right. because there is that autoimmune component or that immunosuppressed component. Do you have any tried or true tools that really can help increase communication at home between parents? Because it's this horrible dynamic where so many of our parents are saying, here I am home with my child all the time. And I feel like our communication has actually gotten less.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. I mean, I've had a lot of kids say, I have to be home, exactly what you're talking about. But I'm just, this is hard. Like, it's causing stress with my family. It's causing, they're mad at me all the time. You know, like, I mean, just because it's just not fun for anybody. I mean, it's difficult for parents too, to feel like you have to watch and be on your kid, you know, all the time. I think it's really important not to overtalk this issue. It's just everywhere. It's on the TV. It's when we're talking to our family at night. I think they just want to break from it.
And absolutely. You don't really,
I mean, just the fact that they're at home learning online does not give them a break from it. It's kind of a constant reminder. So I'm a huge believer in carving out a small amount of time every day, like literally 20 minutes to just do something together that's fun. It might be a walk outside. It might be just watching a short program together. It might be playing a quick game. It might be anything. But I think kids just crave like normal time with their parent that has nothing to do with, are you doing your homework? You know, are you on your phone too much? Are you, you know, all the things that we do. And I just also think, in order to cut down on the stress at home, we all have to be mindful that our children hear, now they're hearing all of our conversations. They see us on the phone. They see what we watch on TV. And I think it just kind of suffocates them. I think that's why they go in their room and shut their door sometimes. I really do.
Oh, I mean, I think about it even with my children. I want to go shut my door from them too. So I can only imagine their world, especially we know that as kids, they do crave that time with their friend group. And for the older kids, those teenagers, that friend group is their lifeline. And so for these kids that don't go back, that are, would you say it's encouraging for them to consider, you know, gaming or, you know, Netflix hangout groups and kind of some of the different apps, FaceTiming? A lot of my parents worry that their children have been on the computer all day doing mm-hmm. schoolwork, but then their children want to spend time gaming or FaceTiming or playing Among Us or Roblox or any of those other things with friends. And it's important, I think, for them to realize there is a difference between those, that you're working towards different goals.
I agree. I think they do need that. I think boys are especially are built that way. I do think that's how they socialize. I mean, that's a very normal way that boys socialize, not to say that girls don't as well, but I think certainly with that group, girls tend to want to just be on Instagram and Snapchat and all that kind of stuff. So allotting them time to do that every day, I know it's more computer and I struggle with that too. But I think as a family, you know, the balance there is to just get outside and do something and put their phones down and just be, I have noticed the one upside of the pandemic is I do see people out more, out in their yard, out walking. I mean, I live in a pretty big neighborhood where you're not on top of each other and when you're outside. And so I think that's awesome for everybody to just disconnect for an hour, half an hour, have dinner together if you possibly can and not talk about the pandemic or politics or school or, you know, anything that is kind of stressful right now. Because I just think we've gotten so, you know, wrapped up in that we almost just nobody can escape it. So escaping it intentionally, I think, is a really good thing. And yes, I think boys and girls are going to use their phone to socialize when they're home. I mean, there's just no way around it. Letting them have that time and realizing that's really valuable to them is, I think we all just have to take a deep breath and not worry about screen time as much right now, because that's that's 100% of our day.
I do hear from some of our parents that say they worry about reaching out to their counselors right now regarding their own personal illnesses or medical changes in their families, because they know right now that educational staff and counselors are so pulled and just feeling like they're taking care of students that are transitioning back to school, supporting other staff that may be worried about their safety or concerned about not having the right technology to be able to do what they need to do for their job. How important is it for a parent right now to still connect with their counselor regarding illness changes or anything related to that at home?
I think, I mean, it's hugely important for me. I don't, you know, when you see a student at school, you only see them in that setting. There can be so much more going on that you have no idea about. And I'm a huge believer in we need to give kids grace. We need to give them a lot of grace. And some are going through even more than just the normal load of this situation. And so I'm very appreciative when parents email me, especially because getting to the phone and being on the phone is really difficult. I mean, it's in terms of timing and when it's good for them and me. But when they email me, I get that in real time, whether I'm home or, you know, wherever. And then I think what people don't understand is that counselors often work behind the scenes to talk to their teachers and to say, hey, I always ask a parent permission, but if they're okay with me sharing, sometimes they're not. And I'll say, may I just let the teachers know that there's a lot going on at home and they need some extra grace. They may need more time on an assignment or they may, and they're like, sure, I just don't want you to disclose what's going on. Not a problem. So when I know that, I can fan out communication to just say this student has got a lot more than just the pandemic going on, or they're going through, parents are going through a divorce or a grandparent just died or whatever the case may be. And our teachers, and I think most teachers, are really good about, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And so it can make a very big difference. So email, I think, for most counselors is best. I always want to know because you don't know.
Exactly. I think that's wonderful. And I think that that's important for our parents to hear, and also to hear that there is that ripple effect that can come from that. So you tell that one point person and the entire care team then is able to be on board if that's the parents' wishes. But even if that's not their wishes, they can still be on board and still retain a lot of that confidentiality, mm-hmm. which is important too. So counselors are able to kind of navigate that.
Yes. Yes, that's our job. And that's why we love what we do. And yeah, there's a lot going on. But honestly, without a lot of kids in the building, we do have the time. We really do. And I want people to know that it's a huge resource that we want people to use.
That's great. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. Please continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For any recommendations or topics you would like to see covered, please feel free to send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.